is up, everybody? Welcome back to First Down Rundown, where we give you a holistic view of the world of sports. Whether you're a casual fan or an avid fan, this is the place for you. We're your two hosts. I'm Hayden Vozar. He's Matt Vozar. And yes, look at the date, baby. It is March 19th, Tuesday, March 19th. That means it's time for our big bracket episode. I think that's what we're going to call it in the title. Big bracket episode. Obviously, March Madness is going to be somewhere in the title as well, because that's what everybody knows it by. But we promise you we would be back for this week and for a March Madness episode in particular. And we kept our promise. We haven't been consistent with it at all, really, since this time in January. I think our last episode was January 12th or something like that. So been a couple months since we've been on the pod, so it might be a little bit rusty here. At least I know I will be, because get a little bit scramble-brained after a while of not doing the podcast. But that's all right, because we're going to get the kinks out early here, and it's going to be a little bit of a longer episode, probably, you know, somewhere in the hour 20 range, I would guess. So that's going to be a banger, though, because obviously these episodes do some of the best out of any episode that we make, and they get the most downloads out of almost any episode that we make. So we are going to grind out today's episode and have a lot of fun doing so. So we're going to be making full bracket picks here. I'm going to explain how we're going to do it and kind of like the method that we're going to do it in, because I think that we've done this same method in the past and it's worked pretty well for us. So I'll explain that after Matt gives his little introduction here. After 2 months of not being on the pod, Matt, how are you?
Yeah, it has been a while for sure. But as excited as Hayden, this is my favorite time of the year. As much as I am, you know, the biggest sports fan you'll ever meet in terms of being a fan of sports across the board, March Madness just tops it. It's the best sporting event of the year, and my favorite time of the year. And so these 3 days between, it's a very short amount of time between Selection Sunday and when the tournament kicks off, really just like 3.5 days, and you're asleep for half of that. So you don't have that much time, but that's I think almost the best part about it is you got to scramble to do as much as you can in that time. So I know that you, me and Hayden, are both making our 25 brackets each. That's the maximum you're allowed to make on ESPN. So we've already dove deep inside to those 25 brackets, and we're off and running. I will, and I don't know, Hayden, how long you want to go on this, but I will just kind of talk on the seeding a little bit, because I think the tournament committee really, really messed up the seeding in a lot of places. You can kind of, Hayden, I guess, describe kind of how, well, no, let's talk about the seeding first, then we can talk about how we're going to do the bracket. In general, Hayden, what'd you think?
It was definitely like, there's a lot of gripe within the sports world, just regarding the committee's decisions and things that teams that they chose to leave out and then teams that they chose to put in. Also, yeah, a little bit with the seeding. Like, I know that a lot of people are mad about FAU getting an 8 seed, which, you know, people are mad at, like, oh, they should have gotten a 9 seed or they should have gotten a 10 seed. And I get that. I get the whole 10 seed thing. But if you're going to get mad about an 8 seed getting an 8 seed and not a 9 seed, they're going to play the same caliber team, because the 8 and 9 seeds are the closest in seeding and they play each other anyway. So, like, you know, if you're getting mad at FAU getting an 8 seed instead of getting a 9 seed and maybe playing, you know, FAU is going to be playing Texas A&M or no, they're going to be playing Nebraska instead of Northwestern if they get a 9 seed. Right. So it's like, it's that kind of thing that you can't really get mad about. One team that I was really mad about that didn't get in at all, and that should have gotten in over a team like our own, like UVA, was Seton Hall. I think that Seton Hall got absolutely snubbed. Yes, their record, I think their record was maybe 20-13, 20-14, something like that. So obviously, record wise, they probably shouldn't get in. I think the Big East got snubbed in general. They only had 8, 3 teams get in, and they're like arguably the third or fourth best conference in college basketball. So that's a little bit of a downside there for just the selection committee in general. But Seton Hall in particular, I think they had wins against, I mean, I talked about them at the beginning of the year when we did our one of our episodes back in January, where we talked about college basketball and just kind of gave a little bit of a state of the game. I talked about Seton Hall because they had just beaten UConn and Marquette, I think, within like a week and a half of each other, and they didn't get in. Now, I understand that's kind of towards the beginning of the season. A lot of the stuff that happens in February and March, and especially conference tournament wise, that's really the stuff that matters to the committee. And, you know, quad one wins, quad one that, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, that Marquette and UConn are both quad one wins, are both like top tier quad one wins, because there's quad one and then there's kind of like the lower quad one, because, you know, there's a lot of criteria that go into it. It's like home court advantage goes into it, neutral court advantage goes into it. So, well, I mean, whatever case you want to make, I think that Seton Hall should have made it in over a couple of the bubble teams, of the last four in teams. So that's one team that I will stand by for the rest of the tournament. I don't care what really happens in the tournament. I think that I will stand by Seton Hall needing to get in through the rest of the season. But Matt, how were your thoughts on this seeding and this selection committee performance?
Yeah, I mean, it was bad overall. I think obviously you pointed out the Florida Atlantic thing, and I understand your argument that they're kind of going to be playing, you know, a similar team. You could very well make the argument that Florida Atlantic shouldn't even deserve to be in the tournament at all. I was honestly surprised that they were in the tournament, more so than I was surprised that like they were an 8 over a 10 or whatever. Because you look at the resume and it's like, they beat Arizona, and that, yes, that's a great win. But besides that, they didn't really play anybody, right? And they didn't even win their conference either. And that's kind of the deal, where it's like, when you're talking about a team overall body of work, you know, they came in second in the regular season. They lost out to South Florida in the regular season of their conference tournament. They lost to Temple in the semifinal of their conference tournament they lost to South Florida in the regular season. They lost to Temple in the conference tournament as a 13.5-point favorite. And here they are sitting on the 8th seed when Utah State, who won the Mountain West, who got 6 teams in the tournament, Utah State is the exact same seed line as an 8, you know? So that's kind of the inconsistency that I think. And again, this is just, it's a lot of it, I think, too, carries over from the last year's success and everything. And obviously Florida Atlantic made to the Final Four as a 9 seed. That's amazing, right? And they were one shot away from making to the championship game and potentially having potentially playing for a championship last year. But you got to think, even in their first game they played against Memphis last year, they were a 9 seed, Memphis was the 8 seed, and there was some weird turnover shenanigan. I remember I had Memphis and I was so upset that they lost, because there was some weird turnover thing and the foul called on the wrong person or whatever. And so Florida Atlantic, you could be like, make the argument Florida Atlantic shouldn't have even been out of the first round last year, and they ended up making it to the Final Four. So yeah, that's a great run. But I think the tournament committee really kind of went on, based a lot of their seeding this year based off of last year's performance, which is completely, like, you shouldn't be doing that, especially given how often these rosters change and how, you know, the transfer portal era and NIL has kind of really changed the sport a lot. The Atlantic 10 as well. So like Dayton got a 7 seed, and like, you know, they're on the same caliber as, you know, Florida, who made it to the semifinals of the SEC. You know, Dayton's best win is probably St. John's, who didn't make the tournament. Other than that, you know, right, they get beat by Duquesne twice, and Duquesne is an 11 seed. They should not be an 11 seed. I mean, they won the A-10, but they wouldn't have had a prayer of getting in, except, you know, they kind of had 3 straight upsets there, you know, to make it to the championship, the A-10. So I think in general, there were a lot of things that kind of could have gone better in terms of, Hayden, like you were mentioning, teams that should have made it. Seton Hall, St. John's were definitely Big East teams that probably should have made it over teams like a UVA, right? Like a Michigan State, who was a 9 seed, and they have 14 losses. I mean, JMU it was a couple minutes away from being undefeated this year, right? And they're a 12 seed. Michigan State has 14 losses, and they're a 9 seed. And oh, by the way, guess what happened in the first game of the season? JMU beat Michigan State at Michigan State, right? So it's just like, you even have these teams that have played each other in the tournament, and you know, we have results to prove it, and yet still the tournament committee really messed things up. So again, I didn't want to spend too much time on that, because at the end of the day, like, this is the bracket that we have and we're going to work off of it. But I do hope that in the future, you know, these things are a little bit more ironed out, and it just seems kind of lazy. Like every single 11 seed, we had a lot of bid stealers this year, right? In terms of, and that means essentially teams that wouldn't have made the tournament without winning their conference tournament. That basically being, you know, teams like an NC State, like a Duquesne, you know, like Oregon, like New Mexico, and all four of those teams that I just mentioned, you notice that they're all 11 seeds. And so it just seems almost lazy. The tournament committee was like, okay, well, if there was a bid stealer, essentially a team that wasn't supposed to win their wasn't supposed to make the tournament at all, but they ended up winning their conference tournament and therefore guaranteeing themselves the automatic bid to the tournament, they just slapped an 11 seed on all of them. And like, that's just not fair, especially to teams, you know, who were better, like JMU, who, you know, won their conference in regular season, won the conference tournament, only had 3 losses all year, had I think the most wins in college basketball this year. And they're a 12 seed, right? Over Duquesne, who has absolutely nothing, you know, on their resume, you know, even close to a team like JMU or you know, or Grand Canyon, or a lot of these teams that have a ton of wins. So it was just a lazy job, but again, it is what it is, and we're gonna still none of this will matter in like 2.5 days when the games are tipping off, and we're already, you know, our brackets are all busted by the time we eat dinner on Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. It's gonna be a fun tournament, that's for sure. And again, I mean, you know, seeding. We can complain about seeding all we want, but like Matt just said, like, it's not really like the seeding doesn't really, really matter, because anybody can go out there at any time and take down a higher seed, right? Like, we've seen, I mean, each of the past three tournaments, there's been a 15 seed that wins over a 2 seed. So you could, I mean, you could argue that Duquesne should get a 15 seed and then they could go out and beat Arizona on Thursday, right? So it's just, it's going to be the same craziness that it always is, and probably even more crazy, just because this, I mean, it's been a weird year in college basketball. I haven't really been able to watch as much as I would have liked, but what I did see, especially from the conference tournaments, I watched a lot more of those than the regular season. And from what I saw in the conference tournaments, like, well, I mean, like we said, there was 5 bid stealers this year. There's 5 teams in the tournament this year that technically shouldn't be, or if it was just based on record and strength of schedule and everything like that, they wouldn't be in the tournament, right? So if there's no automatic bids for conference winners, then obviously, you know, there would be 5 teams in this bracket that wouldn't be there right now. So moving on to our actual picks for the bracket, I'm going to kind of go over the format here, and then we'll get straight into the East region, which is the top left. So like I said, we're going to start with the East region, which is the top left, and then we're going to go clockwise from there. So we're going to go over to the South. If you're following your bracket right now, it's kind of the way that the one seeds are ranked. So UConn is the number one overall seed, and they're in the top left region, which is the East. And then it would go Houston is technically the second, quote unquote, second one seed. And then Purdue is the, quote unquote, third one seed. And then North Carolina, UNC, got the last one seed. So they're in the West in the bottom left. So we're going to go top left, then top right, then bottom right, then bottom left in terms of regions. Now, the way that we're going to pick each region, I think it's going to be a little bit too much for us to go all throughout all of our picks in the whole entire region until we get to our Final Four team. We're going to go by region until we get to the Final Four team, but the way that we're going to do it is we're going to switch back and forth after each round. So I'm going to pick my whole first round in the East region, and then Matt's going to pick his whole first round in the East region. Then we're going to go round of 32 in the East region. Matt's going to do it. Then I'm going to go Sweet 16 in the East region. Matt's going to do his, and then Elite 8. And then we'll have a Final Four team each for each region. We're going to get to each of the Final Four teams. And then we're going to kind of have like a little grand finale where we pick our Final Four, and then eventually have our champions or our championship teams. And then we're going to pick our champions, and that'll be the end of the episode effectively. So I hope that was a little bit clear. It probably wasn't very clear. So you'll see as we go, but if you are following along with your bracket, which I hope you are, or at least in your head, if you've got kind of the layout of the bracket memorized, then I hope that it's easy to follow if you're doing something else right now, which we hope you are. That's kind of what we want these episodes to be, is you multitasking, listening to us while you're listening, while you're doing something else. So let's go ahead and get right into the East. So UConn and Stetson, we've got as the 1-16 matchup here. Obviously, I've got UConn. I'm not picking any 16 seeds, and I don't think that anybody should. So I'm gonna go ahead and say that. So then FAU Northwestern, the 8-9 game here. This is probably gonna, I've heard rumors, I've heard little chirps of this. We were just talking about FAU, which is kind of interesting. I've heard chirps here and there that this is gonna be the most entertaining game, most likely, also possibly the highest scoring game in this first round of the tournament. So be on the lookout for that. FAU Northwestern, they both average in the 80s in terms of points, which is, it's probably like top 30 offenses for both of these teams in all of college basketball. So be on the lookout for that to be a good game. I'm going to pick FAU. I think Northwestern is also a good pick. I think this is really just a toss up. It's really like a 50-50 game, in my opinion. FAU, we were saying, shouldn't really be in the tournament, but I'm still going to pick them because they have a lot of the same players from last year. And obviously, we know that team made it to the Final Four last year. So that's pretty much my logic there. San Diego State and UAB, I'm going San Diego State. I think that they have a really strong team. They're huge. They have this one dude who's like, I mean, he looks like Goliath. I don't know his name, but he's
Dayden
just,
Ladee.
Yeah, he's jacked, and he's like 7 foot, and he's just a massive presence down low. So I'm going to go San Diego State. They also have a lot of good experience from last year, making it to the championship. So we've got UConn and San Diego State, both of the championship teams from last year in this region, which is really interesting.
And they Florida might Atlantic, who was in the Final Four as well.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, I mean, San Diego State and UConn might end up playing each other later on in the Sweet 16 if that kind of balls together well. But then we got Auburn and Yale. And as much as Yale, like, is kind of an interesting pick because Ivy League teams have historically and in recent years, really, I think, you know, Princeton last year was a 15 seed who defeated a 2 seed. As much as Ivy League teams do kind of present upset bids, I'm going to go ahead and pick Auburn here because I think Auburn is just way too good to get upset this year. I mean, you guys will see where I have them going. I have them going pretty far, I will say, but I'm going to pick Auburn here just because I think that Yale doesn't really have much of a chance for an upset bid. BYU and Duquesne. Duquesne is another, yeah, I mean, they were kind of a bid stealer this year. They shouldn't have gotten in, but they got in because they won the A-10. And I don't think that they have much of a shot against a BYU team, which is really good. So I'll talk about more about BYU as we get into the later rounds, but I'm going BYU here. Then Illinois over Morehead State. Don't think that there's much of an upset bid there either. Illinois is really, really good on offense. Their defense is a little bit, yeah, but their offense is one of the best in the nation. So I'm going to go Illinois. And then Drake over Washington State. I mean, 7-10s are just always one of those matchups that you look at and you're like, it could go really either way. Washington State, I think they beat Arizona twice. So they do have the ability to beat big teams, but I think Drake is probably just, I mean, I think they're just a good first round team to pick. And I'm pretty sure that their 3-point shooting is pretty decent. It's their defense is a little bit lacking, but I think their 3-point shooting will probably help them to get ahead enough against Washington State to take down the Cougars there. And then Iowa State and South Dakota State. I've got Iowa State winning. I think it's pretty obvious. I think if there's 1-2 seed that you can count on not getting upset this year, it's probably Iowa State because they're just so good on defense. So that's my first round for the East. Matt, let's hear yours.
Yeah, well, before I go, I just kind of want to, because when we talk about this every year in terms of like strategies with how you just in general want to kind of fill out your bracket, the biggest kind of determinant as to how you want to fill out your bracket is going to depend on the size of your pool. Okay. And especially if it's for money, like if you're trying to win your bracket pool, whether it be, you know, with your friends, with your family, with your work, with your school, whatever, if you're trying to win the pool, and especially if you're trying to win a lot of money from it, the size of your pool is completely, that is kind of the determinant for how you want to fill out your bracket going forward. And the reason I say that is because just because of the variance that the tournament presents, right? Obviously we saw last year, you know, it was essentially, I mean, it was completely like nobody really got any Final Four teams in, right? It was basically, you know, four seeds and higher that all made it to the Final Four, and nobody really could have predicted that. And so it's just completely variant every year. But then we had a year, I think, you know, 9 or 10 years ago where it was like 3-1 seeds and 2. And so it really, you know, there's a lot of different things that can happen. But I think in terms of, you know, sizing your pool, if you have about, you know, 10 people or, you know, 15 people or whatever, you essentially, and it's kind of boring, you're going to want to pick the higher seeds to win all the games, and not every single higher seed to win every single game, but you just generally want to pick the higher seeds because that you're not subjecting yourself to as much variance within the other people that are in your pool, right? And a lot of times people are going to want to pick, you know, a lot of 12 seeds to go on to the Sweet 16, or, you know, oh, I recognize Kentucky, and so I want to move them to the Final Four automatically. You know, a lot of times in those cases, you're going to be able to pass or score more points in your bracket than you know, the other people, because that's just kind of they're going to think, and especially people who don't necessarily follow college basketball you know, a ton. And so in a pool with a low amount of people, you're going to want to have kind of your 3-1 seeds and a 2 seed in the Final Four, right? And you know, your more favorite teams, maybe a UConn Houston final where you pick either kind of, you know, coin flip UConn or Houston to win that game. And again, that's, I understand that up saying that up front, that that sounds pretty boring, and it definitely is. And obviously part of the fun of March Madness is picking those upsets and picking those Cinderella teams and kind of just, you know, calling your shots based on where you want to pick those upsets and who you think is going to win those games. And so obviously if you want to do that, that's totally fine. But I'm saying just in terms of like ultimate logistical strategy, for a smaller pool, you want to pick the higher seeds to go further. In a bigger pool, I would say probably anywhere above like 50, you know, and especially once you get to like, you know, your college pool is going to be like 1,000 people or whatever. The more diverse that you can get with your selections, the better chance that you have to win, but the better chance that you can ride the variance train into scoring a lot of points and potentially winning a tournament or winning a pool, because so many of those people are going to already be picking those higher seeds to win. Right. And so, In a pool with 10 people, if you pick UConn to win the championship and so does everybody else, well, everybody else is going to want to pick, you know, James Madison to beat Wisconsin. Well, Wisconsin's an 8.5-point favorite and they're most likely going to win that game, right? And so over the long term, over the, you know, the 60 whatever games that there end up being in the entire tournament, picking the favorites is probably going to give you a better percentage chance to win, because that's the percentage chance that those teams are going to win because they're favored to win in general. You get a couple of, obviously, like New Mexico is favored against Clemson. So there's a couple of them, you know, that obviously you're going to have the lower seed favored. But especially once you get to the higher paying points rounds, like the Final Four in the championship game, like those rounds are worth as much as getting basically an entire side of the bracket, right, in terms of the first round games. So you're going to want to really focus on what teams are going to be making it far. And if you do have UConn winning it all, just like everybody else, where you're going to be able to separate yourself is kind of picking those, you know, picking those higher seeds to win on the way down. Whereas if you have a ton of people in your bracket pool, you know, if you have 1,000 people and 500 pick UConn, well, yeah, I mean, you're going to have to, it's impossible to predict what people are going to do who also have picked UConn in terms of, you know, what other teams are going to pick. So you might as well just, you know, just kind of go spread it out, pick a bunch of different teams and kind of ride with the variance in terms of something that happened last year, where you have essentially, you know, nobody was able to predict really any of the Final Four, much less one or two teams. So that's kind of just the general strategy on what you want to do. Again, depending on the size of your pool, that's kind of how you want to pick it. And so me and Hayden are in kind of our family pool is kind of like 20, 25 people. So we're kind of in between, I would say, and kind of in terms of like the super small versus the really big tournaments. And so part of it is, again, if you want to just pick the teams because you think that you know how to pick the bracket and you think you know how it's going to go, then sure, I can tell you you're going to be wrong because nobody's gonna make a perfect bracket. But I think in general that's kind of the strategy. So I think from where me and Hayden are coming from, we're gonna kind of have a hybrid kind of model where it's like, yeah, we're gonna have some higher seeds going far, but we're also gonna pick some upsets along the way, because we kind of want to capture that variance in terms of how the bracket's gonna play out, given the size of our pool being kind of in that mid-range, 20 to 25 people. And also again, just given the way that we think and the way that we watch the sport, we probably are gonna have, I mean, Hayden mentioned Auburn, like we're probably gonna have some of the same picks that are, you know, considered quote unquote upsets, and both of us are gonna have those teams going pretty far. That's also because we're brothers and we think alike. And so don't necessarily take what we say as the truth and be like, oh, well, that means that this team's definitely going to win and go super far. So, So all of that aside, I'll actually start with the picks here. And realistically, this first round in the East, I actually have every single same team as Hayden, except for Northwestern. I have Northwestern beating FIU, but again, realistically, it doesn't really matter because they're both going to be facing up against UConn, who is the favorite to win the tournament overall. As for Drake, that's another one of those, like, it's a 7-10 matchup, but Drake is going to be the favorite and they're going to be like, I think in their own backyard too, whereas Washington State has to kind of travel across the country. So that's one of those ones that you're going to kind of watch out for. And it's like, oh, this looks like a huge upset pick. It's really not an upset because Drake is actually the lower seed, but they're the favored team in the game. So I think we both were kind of correct there in picking Drake to move on to the second round. So Hayden, go ahead and give us your Sweet 16.
All right. Well, thank you, Matt, for giving a little bit of insight into pool size, because that's a really good point that he made based on pool size and where you want to go with certain picks, because he's right. Like if you get the champion right, so say you pick Kentucky to win it all because you think that it's just their time, they've been in blue blood for so long and they haven't really had one in a while. Say you pick Kentucky and they do win it all for some reason, that you will earn 32 points in any standard scoring pool that you are in, and that's the equivalent to getting the whole entire first round right, which is something that Matt and I look up to. Like we're always drooling over brackets that get the whole first round right, which is most years there are, you know, at least a few that get the whole first round right. And it's just like, wow, I wish I was that person. But that will be the equivalent to getting the whole first round right, which is very, very impressive. That's just how, I mean, that proves how hard it is to pick the actual champion when it's all said and done at the end of the year. So thank you to Matt for doing that. My Sweet 16 picks here are pretty typical, I'd say. So UConn and FAU, I've got UConn winning that game because, again, it's kind of a toss-up between Northwestern and FAU. And I think that UConn, this is also kind of how this is another strategy that I'll mention along the way here. If you're picking and you see a game that you're a little bit unsure about, you're like, I don't know who's going to win, FAU or Northwestern, right? Don't pick them to go on to the next round, even if they're playing somebody that's really good. So like, I think probably a good example here. So if you pick JMU, that's a popular upset pick, JMU over Wisconsin. And then you're sure that Duke is going to beat Vermont in that first round. So you have Duke in that first round, and you're like, you come back to James Madison and Wisconsin, and you're like, I don't know if JMU has what it takes to beat Wisconsin, right? You can pick JMU to win, but don't pick them in the second round, right? Because if you're sure that they're not going to win, then, or if you're not sure if they're going to win the first round, don't pick them to win another round just because you're like, oh, well, they're going to get hot all of a sudden, right? That kind of just hedges your bets a little bit, hedges your picks, and make sure that you earn some points where you might not in other cases. So
and goes back to kind of what I was saying before of like, yeah, the higher seeds are always going to be pretty much always going to be favored.
Yeah.
So right, if Wisconsin and Duke face off, it's actually probably going to be pretty close. Duke may not be favored, but it's going to be, you know, Wisconsin might be favored by 1 point or whatever. So that's truly a toss up game. But if Duke plays James Madison, Duke's going to be favored by, you know, 6, 7, 8 points. And So that's like one of those situations where, you know, the percentage chance of Duke winning, you know, compared to the money line and how the percentages work is going to be like 75%, whereas Duke beating Wisconsin, maybe, you know, 50%. And so you're going to be, and in that game specifically, you're going to be doubling your points to get that team correctly into the Sweet 16 than you would have, you know, getting them correct in the first round. So exactly what Hayden said, if you pick JMU, sure, you'll get 1 point for it. And if you pick JMU again, you'll get 2 points again, but you're so much more, you're, you know, 25 basis point percentage points more likely to get Duke into the Sweet 16 over either Wisconsin or JMU than you are of JMU just going straight to the Sweet 16 by itself, and you get double the points on top of it.
Yeah, exactly right. So just safe plays are usually the best play. It's contrary to how fun it is to pick an upset and be right in that regard. It's just a lot safer, especially if you're playing for money, which chances are a lot of our listeners are probably in some kind of pool for money. So if you're playing for money, you want to hedge your bets at least somewhat in the tournament and pick the higher seeds where it's most likely necessary, which is, you know, which is throughout the tournament because they're a high seed for a reason. So moving on to San Diego State and Auburn, I think this is going to be a really good game between those two teams. I'm going to pick Auburn here just because San Diego State, I think, doesn't have as good of an offense. I think their defense, I mean, they were known for their defense last year, but I think their defense this year is a little bit more lackluster than they were last year, and it's just not what it was last year. So and Auburn is just, I mean, one of the best teams in the country. I'm going to talk about them more later on in the tournament. I mean, later on in, you know, in the episode as we get into the later rounds here. But yeah, I mean, I have Auburn beating San Diego State. I think that Auburn would crush UAB in the second round. So whoever wins that first game between San Diego State and UAB, I have Auburn moving on to the Sweet 16 anyway. BYU and Illinois, I've got an interesting pick here. I've got BYU. BYU is a very, very good team. They don't play in the best conference, but they do have a few good quad one wins. I think they've got almost like 5 or 6 quad one wins, which is actually really, really good. They're in like the top 20 of KenPom rankings, which, if you don't know, KenPom is a really good ranking system. If you just look up KenPom on Google and you go to their website, it's probably like the best statistical rating system or ranking system in all of college basketball. So any team that's low seeded or that's seeded low and has a good KenPom ranking typically does well. An example of that is UConn last year. They ended up winning the whole thing. I think they were ranked 4th in KenPom after the conference tournaments, and they were not supposed to be 4th in total in like net ranking. So just think about KenPom rankings being, you know, maybe a little bit of a later round upset bid for teams that are like sort of low seeded, but still kind of in that higher tier. competency, think of that as well. So BYU is one of those teams. And then Iowa State and Drake, I've got Iowa State winning over Drake just because, again, Iowa State's defense is way too good to be knocked out by a team like Drake, who will be coming off of what's most likely going to be a pretty grueling game against Washington State. So that is my Sweet 16 there.
Yeah, I have the same two up top, UConn and Auburn. Not really going to expand on anything because I don't want this thing to be like, 2 hours. Interesting pick there with BYU over Illinois. The more I think about it, I'm like, yeah, I could see that happening. And the reason is because BYU lives and dies by the three, right? And as we all know, the three pointer is essentially it's more efficient to shoot three pointers, especially when you have, shot making capabilities, than it is to, be shooting long range, mid range jumpers. They run into problems when it comes to the defensive end. And ironically, they're playing Illinois, who is basically an exact copy. Now, Illinois is not going to shoot the three as much as BYU, but they're a Big Ten team. They have really great athletes on their team, too. And they're going to be high flying on offense as well. So this game is going to be very high scoring. There's going to be a lot of variance involved in terms of like who just ends up, shooting really well from the field. And if BYU comes out and shoots 40% from three, they're probably going to win the game. It's just kind of a toss up at that point. So I have Illinois beating BYU. I definitely could see Hayden, Hayden's case coming through with BYU beating Illinois, but I'm going to go with Illinois because I think they have the better athletes. I saw their run through the Big Ten tournament. They looked really good. But again, BYU played in the Big 12, right? They won at Kansas. They had a lot of good wins. And as Hayden said, a bunch of quad one wins. And so this is a team that come out of the WCC from last year. They were playing, Pacific and, Portland State. And now, they come into Big 12 and they're playing Oklahoma and Texas and obviously Baylor and Houston and all the great teams that are in the Big 12, which was the best league in the country this year, and they still got a six seed out of it. So I think that's really impressive from BYU. But I'm gonna take Illinois there. Iowa State and Drake, I'm gonna also go with Iowa State. I guess Hayden. I will say that Hayden had a good analysis of this game. I could see Drake pulling the upset here though, and the reason is because Iowa State is very predicated on their defense. They can score for sure, but Drake is one of those teams that's very good at shot making. And in the tournament, that's one of those, like in terms of a double digit seed that goes on a long run, one of the things you're going to want to look for is teams that are able to make shots. I remember, UVA when I was at UVA, it was my first year, and we were the number one overall seed, and we played UMBC and we lost, and it was the first number one seed to ever lose. Well, UVA always has one of the best defenses in all of college basketball. And you're like, well, how did they lose to a 16 seed? Well, it's because A, we didn't make our shots, and B, they just made everything. They shot like 75% that day. And so to a certain extent, defense isn't really able to overcome a hot shooting team. And I could see Drake doing that. So if you want to kind of get really spicy here in the first round, I would say Drake is a potential upset candidate over Iowa State.
There we go. Some Drake analysis there. I like it. My Elite Eight teams in this region are going to be Auburn and Iowa State. As much as I do like BYU, and I do want to add this, BYU has one of the deepest benches in all of college basketball, which I think is a metric that it's slept on a lot. Obviously, everybody thinks about 3-point percentage or 3-point efficiency and free throw efficiency in the tournament, because free throws become so important later down the road in all games, really, unless it's like a 15-20 point blowout. Like, free throws are going to be important at the end of the game, no matter what, and throughout the game, really. But that's why I don't really have any faith in UVA, because we are one of the worst teams. And I think we're the eighth worst team in out of all 350 teams in Division I at free throw shooting, which is abysmal. But back to BYU, they have one of the deepest benches in all of college basketball, and that's something to look for. I think that's kind of a slept on metric that I think a lot of people should be looking at, is if you do have a deep bench, if you have 10 really, really good players, which Auburn also has a really deep bench, I'll get to that as well. If you have a deep bench, like, you're going to be able to play guys that are fresh, right? You're going to be able to be faster on the court, assumably, even if your guys aren't the fastest guys, aren't the quickest guys on the court. You're going to have fresh legs continuously throughout the game. You're going to be faster than the other team. You're going to be able to get those cheeky points, breakaway points. You're going to get kind of cheeky steals here and there that other teams aren't going to get. It's just like having guys that aren't tired, and also having guys that can come in for your starters that get into foul trouble potentially. That's what you need to be looking for as another very important metric here in March. So I'm going to go with Iowa State over BYU, although I could see BYU making a crazy run to the Elite Eight, potentially even the Final Four. But this, I mean, this region is just an absolute gauntlet with UConn and Iowa State and Auburn and all those teams. So I've got Auburn and Iowa State in my Elite Eight for this region. Matt, who do you have?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you kind of glossed over it, but I mean, you're picking the number one overall team to go down here. And I have the same thing. So obviously, Hayden, like I said, you know, Hayden, I think a lot alike about these things. And so I think, you know, I'll kind of take some time to describe where, because again, most people that pick the, I mean, that said, like, the ESPN gives you a stat and there's been like 5 million or no, like 10 million brackets already entered, and 25 or 26% or something, or 23%, whatever, basically a quarter of all brackets have UConn winning. Right. And so this is exactly kind of where, what I was saying before, where like, if everybody's going to pick UConn, you don't have really a great chance of, if they do end up winning, then okay, whatever. You're probably going to lose anyway, because you're not going to be able to pick that 15 seed that, you know, upsets a 2 seed or whatever. Or it, you know, maybe you are, but it's just you're so much more bunched up with everybody else in that it's going to be tougher to be able to kind of differentiate yourself. So I think this is a perfect place to do it right now. Obviously, you know, UConn is the best team, you know, been rated at the top all year. And so there is, you know, kind of a big deal to this, the fact that we kind of, you know, we're both picking Auburn to beat UConn here to go to the Elite Eight. I think Auburn has the capability to keep up with UConn, right? UConn just has, I mean, it's that they're basically five NBA, really, they're probably the deepest team in the entire tournament. I mean, they go 10 deep and they can all score, and they just play as if you watch them play, they're just synced up. Like, it's just like, they know where everybody is going to be at the same time, whatever. And so they are, you know, favored to win the tournament for a reason. Like I would totally make them the favorite, but I just think there's been a couple times when they've slipped up this year. They lost at Kansas. They lost at Seton Hall, as Hayden mentioned. They lost at Creighton as well. And in all of those instances, they faced up against teams that had athletes that could run with them, and deep benches that could, you know, kind of compete with them as well. And so I think that Auburn's kind of a good candidate here for a team that is just kind of, you know, they got a lot of athletes. They're really deep. Bruce Pearl is their head coach. He made a run to the Final Four as a 5 seed in the year that UVA won the championship back in 2019. So he has coaching experience to lead his team to a Final Four, and, you know, through a tournament and past some really good teams. I think he beat Gonzaga and UNC, who were like the 1 and 2 seeds that year. So I think Auburn is well equipped to do this. And to go back to what Hayden said before about the KenPom ratings, Auburn, I think, is 4. What are they, Hayden? Do you have it up right now? I think they're 4th or 6th or something.
Yeah, that's something I was going to say. Auburn's 4th as a 4 seed. So they should be in like the 16 range.
They should be like the number 1 2 seed. They should be a 2 seed with the UNs in the UNC bracket. Yeah, exactly. And they're a 4 seed with UConn. So yeah. Just again, another seeding thing, right? Where the committee just completely was very lazy and didn't even look at this stuff. And I will point your attention to the fact that, as Hayden mentioned too previously, last year, who was the number 4 team in KenPom that looked a lot better on their metrics ratings and efficiency ratings than pretty much everybody else, especially considering their seed line? It was UConn. And guess what they did? They ran through the entire tournament. UConn didn't win a game by less than 13 points in all 6 of their games last year to win the championship. I'm not saying Auburn can do the same thing, but I definitely can see them making a similar run that UConn did because of the way that their stats line up and because of how bad the seeding is. That's another thing they have to kind of focus on too, is like the market ratings of these teams are a lot different than just how they get seeded. And I think that, you know, we a lot of people end up becoming slaves to the seeds, where you're just like, okay, well, it's a 4 seed. So I'm picking a huge upset here. Realistically, when UConn plays Auburn, UConn will be favored, but maybe 3 or 4 points, like, you know, nothing crazy. And so, you know, I just think that there's a lot better chance that Auburn is a lot better than what their seed indicates that they are. And I think that too, you kind of, like I said, like I've been kind of trying to say, is that, you know, you're getting a lot more variance picking Auburn over UConn, because so many people are just going to automatically have UConn to the Final Four right now. Obviously, right, if there's a better chance that UConn gets to the Final Four than really anything else happening in this tournament. But I think that, you know, just kind of dividing things up and getting some variance on your side with Auburn there is a pretty good deal. So I have Auburn. I also have Iowa State as the other team in the Elite Eight. And then I have Auburn going to the Final Four. It sounds like, hey, based on the way that you were talking, you do as well. So we can probably move on to the other regions here, even though we kind of have some we have some upsets in this, you know, obviously with, you know, of a four seed going to the Final Four and beating the number one overall seed. But obviously, you know, we think pretty alike. And I think we've done some good analysis on why we're justified in thinking that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it these episodes do typically start out like this and continue like this, where we kind of have a lot of the same picks, especially in the later rounds, like the same upset picks where we, you know, we may have a six seed going farther than most people do. We typically do have that.
And keep in mind, too, we both had UConn in the Final Four last year. And that was one thing that we pointed out as like, this is a pretty big misseeding or at least just based on the way that these, you know, these teams are rated in the efficiency metrics. You know, UConn really stood out. We both had UConn in the Final Four, and that was really the only team that any of us even came close to getting last year. Like the person who won your bracket pool probably had UConn in the Final Four. Right. So I think Auburn this year is basically the exact same team as UConn last year. And right, if they can just kind of get past that UConn game right in the Sweet 16, I think it's Auburn's tournament to lose. Obviously, I don't have them winning. I'll tell you that, but definitely Final Four candidate.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, moving on to the South here, top right region of your bracket. Houston over Longwood, easy. Nebraska and Texas A&M. That's another 8-9 matchup that will probably be pretty good. But Nebraska, I think, also has a top 30 offense in the league, or I think like a top 30 balanced team in the league. So I think their offense and defense is pretty balanced there. So I'm going to go Nebraska over Texas A&M. Get into this Wisconsin JMU matchup. I probably am a little bit biased, and I actually use this as an example to kind of counter what I'm going to say right now earlier, but I am going to pick JMU in this matchup because Wisconsin, I think, is a little bit fraudulent. They haven't had many great wins this season. I think maybe one or two good wins that were ranked wins, but I think JMU, they score like 86 points per game, dude. I mean, they were in the 90s multiple games this season with opponents just absolutely battling it out. Like Matt said, they had a win over Michigan State at Michigan State, the first game of the season. People say that, oh, it's the first game of the season. You know, your team isn't really gelled enough. So that's the time to have an upset. March is also the time to make an upset as well. So I will tell you that. So I'm going to pick JMU to move on over Wisconsin there. Duke, Vermont. This is another tough one, and Duke has had a pretty bad history of getting upset in the tournament. Really ever since like 2015, 2014. I mean, they've gotten upset as a two seed a couple times, I think, since then, and they're a four seed this year. They're also a little bit banged up. I think Kyle Filipowski, he's dealing with some kind of, I think, ankle injury. He got like tripped in a game recently, which was pretty dirty, I think, by the player that did it. He's a little bit banged up, and then I think they have another guy that's kind of in injury trouble as well. So they're a little bit banged up coming into this game. Vermont, on the other hand, is just another really good shooting team. They're a lot like Drake, like Matt was describing them. Vermont, I've got them moving on over Duke. So I've got the 12-13 matchup in that second round there in this part of the bracket, which I'm pretty excited about. I think one of those is going to happen at least. Maybe not both, but at least one of those will happen. I'm almost sure of it. And then Texas Tech, NC State. I've got NC State. They're on a roll right now. They obviously were a bid stealer as well in the ACC, won the ACC championship against all odds pretty much. And, I mean, who doesn't like DJ Burns? Who doesn't like watching a dude that's 6'8", 275, just going to work out there and backing down defenders for, you know, 7 seconds and then shooting a hook shot over them? There's nothing you can do about it. And I don't think that Texas Tech really has an answer for DJ Burns. And they also have some good guards as well on NC State. So I'm going to go NC State in that one. So I've got the 11, 12 and 13 seeds winning in this part of the bracket. And then Kentucky and Oakland, I'm going to Kentucky. I think that's kind of a no brainer. Florida against Boise State or Colorado. It kind of sucks because we haven't had a lot of these games, or we haven't had the play-in games happen yet. So we don't know who's going to be in that part of the bracket. But I do have, if it's Colorado, I think I'll have them winning over Florida. If it's Boise State, I'm not sure. I think Colorado is probably hotter than Boise State is right now. Florida also just lost one of their centers with that really, really nasty leg injury that happened in the SEC championship game against Auburn. And they also just got absolutely blown out by Auburn and the SEC championship. So they might be a little bit down the dumps from that. They could be a dangerous team. Florida could be. Like, I think if they win this first round game, they could probably have a good chance of going to the Sweet 16 and upsetting Marquette. But I do have Boise State / Colorado there, subject to change, but I do have them as kind of my placeholder right now. And then Marquette over Western Kentucky. Let me tell you, Western Kentucky is the fastest team in the whole entire country in terms of tempo. So be on the lookout for that. that could be perfect storm like for a 15 over 2 upset against the Marquette team, who is probably the in my opinion it's probably the most faulty two seed out of all these two seeds. So be on the lookout for Western Kentucky to really push the tempo in that game and maybe force an upset with their really, really fast tempo. But I've got Marquette moving on nonetheless.
All right. I also have Houston winning their first game. I have Texas A&M beating Nebraska. That's kind of just a toss up for me. I think, you know, Texas A&M has a lot of senior guards, and that's another thing you want to look for in teams that are kind of able to win some games here in March, is just guard play is super important, especially veterans who have been there and done that. So I'll take Texas A&M to beat Nebraska. Hayden has the 12 and 13 seeds in these next two. I don't have either of them. I just have Wisconsin and Duke. I have some 12 and 13s later on that we'll get to. I think, you know, again, just kind of playing on the side of variance here, I think both these teams are well equipped and just have the athletes to be able to kind of beat their counterparts. But again, with the JMU thing, I think they're going to be probably the most popular 12 versus 5 upset bid. And again, I could see it happen, right? I think Wisconsin finished, 3-8 in their last 11 Big Ten games to end the regular season. As I said, you know, to start the show here, James Madison went to Michigan State and won. So JMU already has experience going to the building of another slow Big Ten team and winning outright. And that's you know, similar to what we have with Wisconsin. But I think, again, guard play is super important. I think Wisconsin has better athletes. And then I'll pick Duke to beat Vermont. And then, as Hayden mentioned, the NC State Texas Tech game, this is kind of what I'm going to get to. And this is going to come up a lot, too, is the teams that are getting a lot of public love, you know, like an NC State, where, you know, they made this historic run and they won, you know, 5 games in 5 days. They won their first ACC tournament since like 1987 or whatever. Usually a lot of people are going to pick them too. So this is a case where I'm going to pick Texas Tech. I Texas Tech is favored in the game. I think they're going to win, but I'm also just kind of playing the opposite of what I think a lot of people will do, where, you know, oh, you know, right, 11 seeds basically win just as many games as 6 seeds do over the past however many tournaments. And yeah, that's true. And again, I also have some 11 seeds winning this year, but I think that, you know, this is kind of one of those ones where this will kind of get you that extra point, right? Where, like, if Texas Tech just blows out NC State because they went on this insane run and they've, you know, they're just absolutely gassed. Again, it was an amazing run. I watched the entire thing. I watched all three of their last games, and it was amazing to see them do this. But I think that, you know, I'm just kind of erring on the side of, like, hey, pretty much, you know, probably more than half the people in my pool are going to pick NC State. I'm just going to go with Texas Tech. I'm going to have Kentucky beating it, when, again, Hayden kind of said it pretty much. And then Hayden, your analysis of Florida and kind of the winner of Boise and Colorado here is pretty spot on, and almost similar to what I'm doing too. I also have the 10 seed, basically whoever wins, I'm just going to kind of have them move on here. And it's, again, it's very similar to what I was talking about with Texas Tech and NC State, where Florida made a big run to, you know, to the SEC championship. They, you know, they beat Alabama, they crushed Alabama, they put up 100 on them. And I think that, you know, that's going to be kind of catch the eyes of a lot of people as well. They're a team that scores a lot and doesn't really defend, right? And a lot of that's going to be kind of a common theme with a lot of these teams. I mean, Illinois is a good example, Auburn's a good example, Kentucky's a good example, Florida is too, where, you know, we don't see this happen often, but we did see it happen last year. Miami was a perfect candidate, where, like, they were top five all year in offense and like 130th in defense, and they made their way to the Final Four, right? So as Hayden said, like, in one of my 25 brackets, I'm going to have Florida in the Final Four, and in one of them for sure, because I could definitely see them making this run. But at the same time, they just don't defend. And, you know, when you're in a March Madness tournament and you got to, you know, play some defense to be able to win some games, I don't know. And plus, like I said, with a lot of people seeing how well Florida did in the SEC championship, very similar to NC State doing well in the ACC championship, where a lot of people are going to pick Florida. So if, you know, 70% of the people are going to pick Florida and potentially have to move even further, if I can get that extra point with a Colorado or Boise State just in this one game, I'm going to take it. So I'm going to go with the winner of Boise and Colorado there. I think Colorado is probably going to take this, take that home. And then I have Marquette as well in the 2-15 matchup.
All right, moving on to the round of 32 picks here, or I guess Sweet 16 picks technically, but round of 32 matchups, Houston, Nebraska. I've gotten Houston winning. Their athletes are insane. They play such sound basketball. They also have a very deep bench. I think it's a top 10 deep bench in all of college basketball. So they're most likely not going to get upset, or at least they're not going to be one of the higher seeds that you are going to expect to get upset. Obviously anything can happen, but they're going to be one of those teams that you can kind of put your trust in and say, okay, they're going to hold down the fort at least until the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight. And then next game, James Madison, Vermont, 12-13 seed. I mean, again, it's kind of a toss up here. It's just like picking an 8-9 game, right? It's just lower seeds in effect. And JMU, their offense is I think is just probably better than Vermont's. I mean, in general, I said that Vermont has a shooting power to take down a juggernaut like Duke, or not really a juggernaut, but they have the shooting power to take down a bigger team like Duke. But I think that JMU probably just has more offensive prowess than Vermont does in this game, and that's why they're gonna take that game. So James Madison onto the Sweet 16, hometown team right there. NC State and Kentucky. As much as I would like to pick NC State here, I'm not. I'm gonna hedge my bets a little bit and pick Kentucky here, just because, again, if Texas Tech moves on, Kentucky's probably also gonna win that game. So why not pick NC State? It's a 1 point difference that may or may not matter later on. It probably won't matter later on in my pools. So I'm going to take the chance to take NC State, but then have them moving on out when they play Kentucky. I think Kentucky is just way too strong, just all around than NC State is. And then Marquette, Boise State, Colorado. Again, like I said, Marquette is a little bit faulty. I've been looking at them way too much, and I've just been staring at their part of the bracket and saying I shouldn't have them going past the round of 32. I do have them going past, though, because, again, whoever wins between Florida and Boise State or Colorado, they're going to have a team that's like that could pull off an upset, but also probably won't against a team like Marquette, who has played in the Big East, has experience playing really good teams. I'm just going to take Marquette in this situation just to be safe. So I've got the 1-2-3 seeds, and then JMU as a 12 seed in the Sweet 16 here. Matt, what do you got?
I've got Houston moving on to the Sweet 16 as well. I've got Wisconsin over Duke. Again, that's kind of going to be a toss up, but I think that, I don't know. I mean, I could see that game going either way. So I just picked Wisconsin. And then I have Texas Tech beating Kentucky, the 6-3 here. Very similar to Texas Tech is like the ultimate. They're both of the teams that they're playing in the first two rounds are the teams that everybody in your bracket pool that doesn't really follow college basketball is going to want to pick. Everybody's going to want to pick NC State because they made this historic run in the ACC, and everybody's going to want to pick Kentucky because, you know, oh, Kentucky, I know that they're really always really good at basketball. I'm just going to go pick them to the Final Four. And so this is where you can really gain some points on the other people in your bracket pool just by kind of picking Texas Tech to beat Kentucky right now. And I have some reason behind it. Texas Tech, obviously they play in the Big 12, best league in the country. Texas Tech defends really well and Kentucky doesn't at all. And so whereas Texas Tech's offense is not nearly as good as Kentucky's, I think that, you know, Texas Tech's gonna be able to score a lot more than they're used to scoring, especially in the Big 12, where the defenses are very, you know, their defenses are really, really good in the Big 12. And so, yeah, so I'm going to take Texas Tech over Kentucky, little mini upset there. And then I'll have Marquette moving on as well over the winner of Boise State, Colorado. But as Hayden said, and as I kind of said before with this Florida team, it's like if you pick Florida, you'd almost want to just pick them over Marquette, because it's tough because Marquette's been such a good and reliable team the past 3 years. And obviously Shaka Smart is their head coach, and he's been doing really well. But just not as much tournament success. And there's not, you know, but and on the other side of that, though, you know, their guard play is probably they probably have one of the best backcourts in the entire country with Tyler Kolek and Cam Jones. So I can also see this team making a run, right? But I do think that if you want to kind of gain some ground on your bracket pool here, and you pick Florida, which, yeah, a lot of people are going to pick Florida. Not many people are going to pick Florida to beat Marquette. So I think that that's maybe a good option to kind of get an upset in there, too.
Yeah, exactly right. All right. And then our Elite Eight picks, I've got Houston and Kentucky. Houston over James Madison. I mean, I don't think that JMU really has any kind of star power to overcome Houston, which Houston is a very, very much a better team than Michigan State and a very different team than Michigan State is. So if you're going by the logic of, oh, well, Michigan State was ranked, what, number 5 when they got beat by JMU? That was the beginning of the season, and they're also a very different team from Houston. So Houston plays a lot faster. They've just got a lot more of a balanced team. And so I think Houston's going to take it over James Madison. And then Kentucky over Marquette, because, again, of our logic, if you don't think that Marquette's going to go that far, you want to pick them you want to pick them out before the Elite Eight and, you know, those rounds like that. Sweet 16, I think, is probably they'll probably be out by the Sweet 16 is what I'm trying to say. So I'm going to go Kentucky over Marquette to have Houston and Kentucky in the Elite Eight, and then Houston moving on to the Final Four. I think that it's kind of a no-brainer to have Houston in the Final Four from this region, especially if you're trying to win some. Obviously, you can have, you know, you can have a team like, you can have a team like Kentucky in there. But I just think that the 2, 3, and 4 seeds in this region are a lot weaker than Houston is. And so it's just smart to pick Houston to go to the Final Four here. So I've got Houston.
Yeah, I have Houston as well, making it to the Elite Eight. And I have Marquette beating Texas Tech, mostly because if this is the way I think the bracket's going to break, I do think that Marquette can beat Texas Tech just in a straight-up matchup. So that's kind of the only reason I picked Marquette there. And like I said, too, a lot of what you're going to see is people picking, you know, I mean, I'm not, you know, calling out Hayden here. I do think Kentucky can definitely make it to the Elite Eight. But I think that you're probably going to see more people pick Kentucky to the Elite Eight than Marquette, right? And so And Marquette's the better seed. Now, I'm not saying that that's not automatically that they're going to win that game, but if you do have a matchup Marquette-Kentucky and Marquette pulls it out, I think it's probably going to be a toss-up, you know, 50-50. And if you can kind of gain that up, or, you know, gain that those points on your opponents in your bracket pool, that can really kind of put you ahead there, and especially because that's an Elite Eight game, right? So that game's worth, like, you know, quadruple the points that a first round game is. So so I have a little boring here, a little chalk with Houston Marquette in the Elite Eight, and then I have Houston going to the Final Four as Hayden, similar as Hayden.
All right, and then moving on to the Midwest, the bottom right part of the bracket here, Purdue. I've got them moving on, obviously, and then TCU Utah State. That's another pretty interesting game. TCU has a few good wins though this year. I think they've beaten Houston and Baylor this year, which are two pretty big juggernauts to beat in a season. So TCU's taken down some pretty good teams, and against a team like Utah State, who I don't know much about, but I know that they're pretty decent, I still got TCU winning that game. And I could maybe see TCU taking down a team like Purdue, because again, they've shown that they can take down a good team, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Gonzaga and McNeese. I've seen things flown around about McNeese being able to pull off this upset. I don't really think so. I think that the only thing that they have going for them is shooting a lot of low seeds, but apparently they don't take care of the ball well, and they a lot of turnovers are forced upon them, and they just don't really play defense that well. They don't really have many big guys because a lot of the smaller schools don't. I think Gonzaga kind of rolls through them. Gonzaga's got one of the best starting fives in the country, and so I think that Gonzaga kind of rolls past them no problem. Kansas-Samford, I'm really torn in this game too, because Kansas is also in injury trouble. Hunter Dickinson is hurt. He's probably going to play, but I think that he either didn't play in the Big 12 tournament or was hurt for some of it, or at least, or something like that. So I really want to pick Samford, because Samford also has a top 10 starting five in all of college basketball, which is a pretty interesting metric there. I don't know. I think they're deep. I mean, I think their bench isn't really deep, but again, if they can get hot with those five guys and stay out of foul trouble, they could very well pick up an upset against Kansas. I'm really thinking about doing that, or making that switch from Kansas to Samford winning that game. So I've got Kansas right now, but I think that Samford, I'll probably end up switching it to Samford just because it's another upset that I can pick. And then South Carolina, Oregon. I think a lot of people are looking to Oregon to make this upset too, because South Carolina historically hasn't really been a good men's college basketball team. At least they've had a really good women's team for years and years, but their men's team hasn't really made a splash recently at all. I can't even remember the last time they were in the tournament. But they're here as a sixth seed, and it's pretty surprising. Oregon, on the other hand, just came off of a pretty grueling battle in the Pac-12 championship. I don't think that they're going to really be able to make an upset over South Carolina. South Carolina also, I think, beat Tennessee twice this season, which Tennessee is a 2 seed and in the SEC and a really tough in-conference team to beat. And South Carolina took them down twice. So that's a good thing to look out for. South Carolina, I've got moving on. And then Creighton, Akron, I've got Creighton. Creighton's a classic tournament team that you just love to pick in the tournament because they typically do well. And while they've been an upset, while they've been the one upsetting others in the past, they're now the ones that could be upset now. But you know, as a 3/14 seed, I kind of like their odds to move on. And then Texas against UVA or Colorado State, we'll see who wins that game tonight. I'm going to be watching it with my buddies, and I think Colorado State's going to win that game tonight, and I think Colorado State's going to roll past Texas too. So I've got Colorado State slash UVA picked preemptively. I think if UVA wins, I'll probably have Texas winning that game. But if Colorado State wins tonight, which I think they will, I think they're going to roll past Texas. I think Colorado State has a really, really good team. They should be in this tournament. I think that they, like, you could make the argument that they should be the 8 seed instead of FAU, and FAU should be the 10 seed playing UVA in the play-in game. But that's just my take. And then Tennessee and St. Peter's, I've got Tennessee kind of a no-brainer there as well. As much as I would love to see St. Peter's make it to the Elite Eight as a 15 seed again, I don't think they're going to do it against Tennessee this year. The only reason that they did it against Kentucky was because Kentucky was kind of fraudulent that year when they did it. So I'm going to go to Tennessee to move on.
I also have Purdue and TCU similar to Hayden. I have Gonzaga beating McNeese as well, but like Hayden said, I'm kind of tempted. I can see McNeese pulling off that upset, but again, you other people might do that as well. I think Gonzaga just has a better lineup. They're also, like, I think they're like 16th in KenPom, 16th overall in the country. So they arguably should have gotten a better seed, I think, as well. And then I do have Samford beating Kansas, mostly because this is just probably the worst possible situation for Kansas to end up in. As Hayden mentioned, Hunter Dickinson is hurt, as is Kevin McCullough, who's actually their best player. He's better than Hunter Dickinson. They're both hurt. They're both going to play. But you never know really the strength and or kind of what they're at, and you're never really going to know. I mean, this team, you know, won the championship 2 years ago. So, you know, could I see them making a run? Of course I could. But they were also a 1 seed last year and lost to 8 seed Arkansas, which I called. So I'm going to choose Samford to pull the upset here. And I think that another big piece that Hayden didn't mention, Samford basically does a full court press every single possession down the floor. And I think that with Kansas being the way that they are, obviously, you know, their two best players are coming off of injury, and they're not even deep. They don't even have bench players really behind those guys. I think Samford running up and down the field, you know, or up and down the court and running that full court press is really going to tire Kansas out a lot. And they're not going to have the necessary backups to be able to replace those guys. So I think Samford's going to pull the upset here, and I have the 13-4 upset there as well. Hayden picks South Carolina. I have Oregon. Hayden, the last time that South Carolina was in the tournament, I remember you saying that it was, I think it was like 10 years ago, whatever. They were the 7 seed. They got to the Final Four with who? Sindarius Thornwell. If you remember that name. So yeah, I have Oregon winning this game. I just think that they a lot of their players are veteran guys, and they started off the season well. They didn't do too great at the end of the season, but I think that seeing their win over Arizona, seeing their win over Colorado, kind of seeing them make a run in the Pac-12, kind of put some faith in me that they can control games. They can do this, and I think they can upset a team like South Carolina, which, again, as I had mentioned, they did come out of nowhere this year, but they kind of tailed off towards the end of the year once they started playing some better competition. I have Creighton for sure. And then I have Texas beating the winner of UVA and Colorado State. I could definitely see, as Hayden said, if it's Colorado State, I'd be tempted to pick Colorado State to beat Texas. But Texas has a bunch of athletes. The star player is a guy named Max Asmus. He was the star on Oral Roberts when they got to the Sweet 16 a couple of years ago, and they beat, as the 15 seed, they beat Ohio State in that first round game. So Texas has a lot of experienced guards. They were a 2 seed last year. They got to the Elite Eight. They were up 12 with 12 minutes left to go in the game against Miami to send them to the Final Four, and they ended up losing that game. And I'm really mad because I had Texas and UConn in the Final Four in my bracket last year, and that would have helped me get there. So I'm going to pick Texas to win that game. Then I also have Tennessee over St. Peter's.
All right, moving on to the round of 32 in this region, Purdue and TCU. Like I said, I could see TCU pulling off an upset against Purdue. So that's probably one of the 8-9 seeds that I could see winning in this round of 32, which I think has happened the past two tournaments, at least. An eight or nine seed has taken down a 1 seed in the round of 32 at least once in the bracket in the past 2 years. So that could happen there, but I still have Purdue just to kind of be safe, play the safe card there. Then Gonzaga and Kansas, and again, it could be Samford as well. I'm actually more leaning towards Samford now that Matt gave me a little bit more reassurance there with that pick. And so I think that Gonzaga, either way, even if they play Kansas or Samford, I think Gonzaga is going to move on because, again, Kansas, they could lose to Samford. So I'm hedging my bet here, picking Gonzaga to move on to the Sweet 16. So I'm not screwing myself when Kansas has Hunter Dickinson hurt and they can't, you know, they can't really roll the floor against Samford, and then they end up losing. So Gonzaga moving on to the Sweet 16, playing against Purdue. And then Creighton and South Carolina. I think South Carolina again has a chance to maybe move on to the Sweet 16 here with an upset over Creighton, because they are an SEC team. They've played in a really, really tough conference all year, but Creighton has too. I mean, the Big East, you can't really deny the competency of the Big East. So I'm going to go Creighton over South Carolina, and then Tennessee over Colorado State or UVA, whoever, or even Texas, whoever makes it there. Tennessee's also just a great SEC team. There's a few good SEC teams in this region of the bracket. And I've got Tennessee moving on over UVA or Colorado State. So I've got the 1, 2, 3, and 5 seed in the Sweet 16 here.
Yeah, I have the exact same, and I'm not going to drag this out any longer. So we're locked up. We're matched up here with our Sweet 16. So see if we get different in the Elite Eight here, Hayden. Who you got winning each of those two games?
Elite Eight, I've got Purdue and Creighton. I've got Creighton taken down in Tennessee here, because Creighton, again, one of the best starting five lineups in all of college basketball. I think they're definitely ranked in the top 10. I'm looking at it right now. And so I don't know if this is, ranked like permutationally, but I mean, they have one of the best starting fives in all of college basketball. Tennessee is a really good team, but they have had a couple losses this season against teams like South Carolina, where it's like, you look at it and it's like, how could you lose twice against a team like that? So I'm going to pick Creighton here to move on past Tennessee. So I've got Purdue and Creighton in the Final Four, and just so I don't have Purdue going to the Final Four, because I couldn't stand to have them in the Final Four and have them lose in an early round like they have in many of the past years, I'm going to go Creighton to the Final Four to just kind of hedge my bets there. I think Creighton, Ryan Kalkbrenner has been playing there for like 80 years, and he's still there, and he's still manning the floor. He's one of the most dominant players in college basketball, and nobody talks about him. So going to Creighton to the Final Four, give me that 3 seed in that Final Four spot.
Yeah, I have Purdue and Tennessee, but as Hayden said, it's really a toss up. Anybody can kind of win that game. I also I have a preseason bet on Creighton to win the championship at like 30-1. So I'm like low key rooting for Creighton more than I am for Tennessee, but I'm picking Tennessee to kind of hedge my enthusiasm there in case Tennessee wins. I can be like, all right, at least I have them in the bracket. But definitely I'm rooting for Creighton for my wallet there. And I could see them making a run for sure. So I have Purdue and Tennessee, and then I have Tennessee over Purdue. So kind of me and Hayden aligned here, and that we don't want to see Purdue in the Final Four. And it's again, I guess we can have the Purdue conversation now. I think it's not like Purdue's this big team that always just goes in there and chokes in March Madness. Yeah, they have really absolutely, crapped the bed each of the last 3 years they've been in there. But I think especially with this team, and how centered around Zach Edey, how focused they are on him, he gets reffed very easily in the Big Ten. And you saw that in the semifinal game of the Big Ten championship. They played Wisconsin, and I think Zach Edey got fouled like 20 times or something. I think Purdue shot like 40 free throws and Wisconsin shot like 10. And Wisconsin still won the game, right? So like, that's a perfect example of like, you and it's, I don't know. I mean, it looks weird because it's like, obviously, these guys are going to be playing, the 7'4" monster, like, a lot more physically than they will, really anybody else. But at the same time, he's so much bigger and so much just as the wingspan, and abilities to score and rebound so much more than everybody else. But I think in the NCAA tournament, and I think that's probably been one of the reasons why Purdue hasn't been able to advance as far in the past couple of years, because the refs in the tournament don't call the fouls similarly or as similarly enough as the Big Ten refs do during Big Ten conference play. And so I think that's kind of where this Purdue team is going to trip up. Now, I think that in terms of kind of going back to all the way back to what I was saying at the beginning of the podcast, in terms of like picking a team to win your bracket where, you're maybe with like 50 people or so, obviously the two most popular picks are going to be UConn and Houston. I think Purdue is probably that team that you're going to want to pick to win if you kind of don't really care about getting all the games right and just kind of really playing a math game in terms of trying to win your bracket pool, because nobody's going to want to pick Purdue, especially after what happened last year, losing to a 16 seed, right? And I do think Purdue is better this year too. I mean, they're two true freshman guards last year. They didn't know what was going on against Fairleigh Dickinson. They've both grown, they've both matured, and they're a lot better this year too. Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer. So So I think that, you know, I think as much as I'm kind of, as much as we're kind of like, get Purdue out of here, they don't, you know, they can't be refed on and whatever. The team is good. The team is solid. And I think that, you know, if you want to diversify your bracket a little bit, I would say have Purdue go pretty far, like at least to the championship game, because so many people are not going to have them, you know, going that far, that even if they get to the championship game and lose to UConn, if you have them in the championship game, you know, that's all those extra points that you're going to get over someone else who, you know, most other people who are picking, you know, Houston or Tennessee or whatever. So I do think, and in Kentucky really. So I do think Purdue is a good option for, you know, for if you're kind of wanting someone else other than kind of the UConn, Houston, UNCs of the world. And they're going to be a lesser pick team in those bigger bracket pools. But yeah, in terms of just kind of how I think the basketball is going to be played out, I think Purdue has a pretty easy path to Elite Eight. I mean, we're thinking about, you know, TCU, Gonzaga, Kansas, like all these teams are kind of just, you know, lesser forms of themselves, which are usually, you know, Kansas and Gonzaga specifically are always kind of, you know, near the one seed line. They're really down this year. And I think Purdue is able to take advantage of that. So I do see that, you know, I really don't see Purdue getting upset really until the Elite Eight. And so that's another kind of point of contention too, where it's like, if they're going to get to the Elite Eight, as you know, me and Hayden have kind of said, you know, these higher seeds getting far and having an easy path to the Elite Eight, you might as well just pick them to go to the Final Four too. But in terms of just kind of, you know, diversifying my bracket and kind of getting some outs in there, I like Tennessee. I like the ball they play. I like they play really good defense. They had a very, very veteran, very physical team. Guard play is one of the best in the country. So I'm going to have Tennessee advance to the Final Four.
All right, there we go. Moving on to our last region of the bracket. Here we've got the West region, the bottom left. And we've got North Carolina as the one seed here, which was a little bit of a surprise to some people. I mean, it wasn't really a surprise, but it was just kind of they were the last ones to get announced as a one seed. And it could have been any of the two seeds as well. Like Iowa State could have slid in there because of their huge Big 12 championship win at the end of the conference tournament there. But North Carolina ends up as the one seed. I have them moving on. Then Michigan State, I have them moving on over Mississippi State. Mississippi State is a popular pick. I think Mississippi State, actually I might have misspoke about South Carolina. I think Mississippi State is the one that has two wins over Tennessee. There's one of these SEC teams that's a low seed.
Yeah, I think you're lower, right. It's Mississippi seed. State.
Yeah, so it is Mississippi State. So forget what I said about South Carolina. I still have them where I do though in the round of 32. But Mississippi State, they do have two wins over Tennessee, so they can beat a big team, or you know, big time team. They have proven it, but I still got Michigan State moving on just because Tom Izzo, let me give you a little stat right here. Tom Izzo, when he's the lower seed, has won 65% of the time. And so he's still coaching that Michigan State team, you best believe. So he's gonna move on past Mississippi State there. St. Mary's and Grand Canyon. Originally, I wanted to pick Grand Canyon in this game just because Matt said it at the beginning of the podcast. Grand Canyon, they've won 30 games or 31 games or something like that. So they don't have many losses. They're not used to losing, right? So they go out on the floor and they think they're going to win. But St. Mary's, dude, they've got a heck of a defense. And you know what stops a lot of really streaky teams and a lot of really high-scoring teams like Grand Canyon will most likely be in this tournament is defensive teams. So look out for St. Mary's to kind of stifle that upset. I've seen and heard of a lot of people picking that 12 over 5 there with Grand Canyon going over St. Mary's. And I could see it happen, but I do think that St. Mary's is going to stifle that Grand Canyon offense. And then Alabama, Charleston, I actually have Charleston winning. So right now, and like potentially at the end of all this, I could have three of the four 13 seeds winning. I'll probably change at least one of those moving on from here. But Charleston, dude, let me tell you, they have one of the deepest benches in all of college basketball as well. I think it's like the sixth ranked deepest bench. They have 10 guys that can stretch the floor. All of their guys are comfortable shooting threes on offense. So you're not going to have guys that are just kind of stuck down low there and not really contributing to offense. All of them, you can pop the ball out to them at the 3-point line and they can shoot it and make it. So that's a team that you're really going to look for to pull off an upset in March here. And if you look at Alabama's track record here, dude, they split with Auburn this year and they lost twice against Tennessee. They lost against Kentucky. They lost against Purdue. They lost against Creighton, against Arizona. So all those teams are really good teams, right? Their out-of-conference play was insane. Like, they had to play some really, really good teams out of conference. So a lot of people will get kind of caught up by that record there. It's not fraudulent. They beat a lot of good teams as well, but they also lost against a lot of their tough games that they played. So I'm just kind of worried about Alabama being able to stay in a game where they have to really battle it out with a team like Charleston, who can shoot the ball super, super well and has a super deep bench with guys that are going to be fresh the whole entire game. So I've got Charleston moving on there because, again, I don't think Alabama can make it past St. Mary's either if they move on to the round of 32. So give me Charleston to win that game. New Mexico, I think, is a really hot pick. Matt said that they're favored against Clemson. I'm buying the hype. I mean, they won the Mountain West, and they're kind of on a tear right now. And I don't think anybody can really stop them, especially a Clemson team who has been a little bit faulty. Their record isn't really that good. PJ Hall is kind of a beast, but I think he's really their only hope of going far. If he doesn't have a good game, Clemson isn't gonna really do much. So I'm gonna give me next New Mexico State to move on there, and then Baylor and Colgate. I've got Baylor. I don't think that Baylor really has any chance of losing that game. Colgate is kind of a typical tournament team, but I don't think they're going to really make any noise this year. And then Nevada and Dayton, I've got Nevada moving on there. I don't think Dayton's that good. I think they're seeded too high. Like Matt said, they were a good A-10 team this year, but they didn't win the conference tournament. They got knocked out. And if they don't really have much momentum going into the tournament, I think Nevada's got a pretty good, I think they've got a top 30 offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. Both of those are top 30. So look out for Nevada to make that upset. And then Arizona over Long Beach State, I don't think it's really much of a question there.
I have UNC and Michigan State as well. As Hayden mentioned, I think, yeah, the Mississippi State, Michigan State is pretty much a toss up. And I think a lot of people are going to pick Michigan State, obviously, because of Tom Izzo and his record and stuff. But at this point, it's kind of like his record speaks for itself. And so as much as you want to say, oh, pick, like, again, this is one of the situations where everybody's going to pick Michigan State. And so you're probably going to want to go with Mississippi State just because you'll get that extra point if Mississippi State's able to pull it off. To move on to the next couple games here, this is where things really get crazy, Hayden. I have Grand Canyon and Charleston both beating their respective opponents. Now, I will say that St. Mary's, I immediately filled out a bracket as soon as I saw it and I got it on the app, and I'm like, all right, what am I going to do? I actually had St. Mary's going past even North Carolina into the Elite Eight. And then I was like, you know what? No, I just need to make this more fun. So as much as I do like Grand Canyon, I think they can win. They play in a very easy conference. They didn't really play anybody in the non-conference. This is just kind of one of those, the spread is 5.5. Okay. And that's one of those things that tells me, like, this is not your typical, like, this is not a, you know, I'm trying to think of any other 5-12s aren't that high, but even Wisconsin, like, they're favored by 7 against James Madison, right? And so I think that, you know, the spread is indicating to me that this is going to be a little bit tighter than people think. And I think that Grand Canyon can kind of pull this off. And again, they can make shots. They ran through their league. They won a ton of games. But I do think that I could see St. Mary's, you know, going pretty far, honestly, if they are able to win this game. They're like second in defensive rebounding rate. They're like third in offensive rebounding rate. So they rebound the ball and they shoot really well and they have good guards. So St. Mary's is one of those teams. And I actually, in a couple of my brackets, I think I have St. Mary's going to the Final Four. They're one of those teams that's kind of unheard of, but they can make a really deep run and they're always overshadowed by Gonzaga. But this year, St. Mary's won the regular season WCC and the WCC tournament. They beat Gonzaga twice out of the three times they played. So I think St. Mary's is a really good team. I'm going to have Grand Canyon move on though. And I think that, you know, again, kind of just got to, you know, roll with the variance a little bit. And I kind of want to just diversify my bracket. This is what I was like, I'm thinking about something to say. St. Mary's, I think, started 8-6 and they lost to like, oh man, I'm going to forget. I think they lost to like UNLV and like Southern, like these really weird, like quad four losses that they took in the beginning of the season. Obviously they turned it around, they figured it out. And so you want to see a team, you know, be playing better towards the end of the season, and St. Mary's definitely is, but those early season losses got me a little bit afraid of St. Mary's as well, in case they were kind of regressed to how they were playing before. In terms of the Alabama Charleston thing, Hayden did a really great job of kind of outlining that. Hayden, you picked Charleston, right? I think.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Okay. So I agree with kind of everything that Hayden said. This game is going to be played like in the hundreds. I mean, both of these teams shoot it like crazy and don't play any defense. And, but I think again, it's just one of those things where like, if Charleston gets hot, Alabama's going to be able to, like, they're going to be, if Charleston gets hot, Charleston's going to be score just as much as Alabama because Alabama doesn't play the defense. But again, this is one of those teams. Alabama profile is almost exactly like Miami of last year, where they have a top five offense and a horrible defense. But if they get some offensive regression and, you know, they kind of have find themselves on a good pathway, Alabama can make a deep run. And I don't think anybody's really thinking about Alabama as like close to a Final Four team or anything. So I think both St. Mary's and Alabama, even though I have both of them losing, I would say that they're probably, you know, almost likely Final Four teams, or at least, you know, a good upset pick over kind of a one seed North Carolina here, where I think both of St. Mary's and Alabama have a good chance to beat North Carolina. If you want to get a little bit different and kind of have an upset there quickly before, you know, you kind of have another one seed of advancing to the Final Four, even though, yes, I'm still picking Grand Canyon and Charleston to win each of those games. Same thing as Hayden said, I have New Mexico over Clemson. Clemson started the season really well. They have a win at North Carolina. It's pretty much the only thing that they did in the back half of the season. They have some really bad losses too. And New Mexico just ran through the Mountain West. They were good to start the year. They had a couple iffy losses here and there, but seems like they're back on track. They have like three NBA players too, like just kind of randomly on New Mexico. So I have New Mexico winning that game. I have Baylor beating Colgate. That's a pretty, I think Baylor's going to crush Colgate. And then similarly, as Hayden said, I have Nevada beating Dayton. As he said, you know, Nevada has some really good, they're a very balanced team. They kind of came on too at the end of the year and kind of just were running through the Mountain West as well. They're also playing this game. I think it's in, I don't know if you had the locations in, but they're playing, I think, in Utah or something, where it's like Nevada, their campus is very close. They're like taking a bus to this location, whereas Dayton's flying across the country and it's at elevation. So Nevada's going to be used to that elevation and breathing in that air. And Dayton's going to have to again, right. Yeah. As Hayden said, they started the season really well and they just kind of lost a lot to end there. So I have Nevada beating Dayton as well in that 10 seed over seven. And I think it's close, and Nevada might be favored too. So it's not even really an upset technically. Then I have Arizona obviously beating Long Beach State as well. So Hayden, who you got in the Sweet 16?
All right. Sweet 16 picks here. I've got North Carolina over Michigan State. I think that Michigan State over North Carolina is going to be kind of a popular 9-1 seed pick as well. Kind of the same as the TCU Purdue thing. Like I could see it happening, but like Matt said, Michigan State very well could lose to Mississippi State. So I'm not going to have them moving on to the Sweet 16. I've got North Carolina in the Sweet 16 instead. And then St. Mary's versus Charleston. Very tempting to pick Charleston here because St. Mary's, yes, has a good defense, but if Charleston's offense can just make sure, like if they can just go out there and perform really, really well again, and they can, you know, they can put up another, what would be a 90-point game against Alabama, maybe like a 70-point game against St. Mary's, that could still pose a really big threat to St. Mary's because St. Mary's offense isn't really that good. But nonetheless, I still do have St. Mary's moving on to the Sweet 16. Matt gave a lot of good analysis on St. Mary's too, and I'm pretty high on them in this bracket as well. I didn't slide off of the St. Mary's train like he did. I've kind of stayed on it ever since I laid eyes on the bracket. So I've got St. Mary's moving on to the Sweet 16, and then New Mexico versus Baylor. This Baylor team is not as strong as they have been in past years. Obviously, they won the championship in 2019, and they were just absolutely dominant then when they won it then. But they're not the same team. They've kind of struggled a little bit in the Big 12 this year, you know, here and there. And I think that New Mexico, like, I mean, they're just on a tear. Like they're hotter. They're an even more hot team than NC State is right now. They won the conference championship, and that's just one of those indicators that tells us that a team like New Mexico is going to be ready to pull off a big upset against Baylor, especially if they pull off an upset against Clemson, right? Or not really an upset because they're technically favored. But if they pull off the seeded upset against Clemson, they're going to have that momentum moving into the game against Baylor. They're also one of the fastest teams in the country. I think they're the fastest. I mean, the third fastest team in the country in terms of tempo, behind Western Kentucky and like some other random team that isn't even in the tournament. So again, they're going to push the tempo really, really hard against Baylor, and I think they're going to pull off that upset. So give me New Mexico to the Sweet 16, and then Arizona over Nevada. I think Arizona is way too balanced for Nevada to pull off that upset. So give me Arizona in the Sweet 16 as well.
This is where things get out of control here, Hayden. I have Michigan State over North Carolina. I know you said it's going to be popular. Ooh. I think it is too, but let me make the case. And again, this isn't, I'm not necessarily picking my bracket. Like, I know that Michigan State's going to beat North Carolina. My thing is UNC is number 9 at KenPom, right? In terms of that rating that we were talking about before. So they're technically closer to being a 3 seed than they are a 1 seed. And they're a 1 seed here in the region. So it's kind of the opposite effect of Auburn, where like Auburn should be a 1 seed technically by KenPom's rankings. And there are 4, UNC should be a 3 and there are 1. And so, and they're also the third highest percentage pick team to win the championship in terms of like the ESPN, how they're doing the percentages and stuff. So a lot of people, and also like, you know, me and Hayden live in Virginia, you know, a lot of Carolina people either, you know, in and around the area, got family, whatever. And so that's another thing, like regionality is a big thing too. Like if you're in Houston, a lot of people are going to pick Houston to win the championship, right? So like if you're in a big pool, like don't pick Houston because, you know, a lot of people will. And so UNC is kind of the same deal here where it's like they're just not rated as highly as they should be. Or no, sorry. They're rated higher than they should be or seated higher than they should be. And so I think they're going to get clipped by someone, right? I have Michigan State winning this game. But again, this is just a game theory thing for me. This is how I'm playing the bracket such that I don't have UNC moving on past the round of 32. As I said before, if I had St. Mary's beating Grand Canyon, I would have St. Mary's beating UNC, right? I could see Alabama beating UNC. So in really all of the scenarios, I think it's just smart to say, okay, you know what? UNC should not be a one seed. And obviously they're still going to be favored in all of these games. And I wouldn't be surprised if they make it to the Final Four. I'm not saying that they aren't. I'm just saying if you're going with the variance and the game theory of it, you kind of want to look at UNC as being a fraudulent one seed and thinking, okay, if there's some really, I mean, there are some really talented teams, Michigan State, Alabama, Grand Canyon, St. Mary's, like all these teams have the capability to upset a team like UNC just because their rating and efficiency metrics just aren't that good. So that's my reasoning for picking against North Carolina here. Obviously, I have Michigan State and I sound like a homer or I sound like a hypocrite because I said at the beginning of the podcast, I said Michigan State shouldn't have made it, right? But I do have them moving on past UNC. And then I have Grand Canyon over Charleston. That's kind of a toss-up. I could go either way with that, but I kind of just like seeing the 12 seed move to the Sweet 16. And then similar as Hayden, I have the last two teams the same. I think New Mexico gets Baylor, but I don't know. The more I talk about it, I heard two different guys that are like really into I think are like media personalities in college basketball, really know the sport. They both have Baylor in the Final Four. So that's another one where like, okay, a lot of people are going to pick UNC and everybody who doesn't pick UNC, they're going to pick Arizona, right? So if you want another team to get to the Final Four, Baylor is a good option for that. And they're a team too, actually very similar to Alabama, to these teams where like they have a really, really good top 10 offense and, you know, like 60th on defense or something. So, so if they get to scoring and the game state goes there, way, Baylor can definitely make a run in this tournament. And so I think that, you know, I have New Mexico beating them. Hayden does too. But you know, they have a lot of time. I think they have three NBA players in their lineup too. So it's going to be a good matchup. This is going to be a great game, New Mexico versus Baylor. But just to kind of spice it up. And I think that New Mexico's riding high off of that Mountain West championship, as Hayden mentioned as well. So I'm going to pick New Mexico to beat Baylor. And then I have Arizona over Nevada, but wouldn't be surprised when I first fill out the bracket, Hayden, I had Nevada beating Arizona. So I wouldn't be surprised if Nevada gets that upset as well. So that makes my Sweet 16 in West region is the 2 seed, 9 seed, 11 seed and 12 seed. So this is kind of where things got off the wall. And again, it's just one of those things where like I have, you know, I have the one and the two in, you know, in the South with Marquette and Houston. I have the one and the two in Midwest with Purdue and Tennessee. And so, as are a lot of people, right? A lot of people in my bracket contest are also going to have those 1 and 2 seeds. And so you kind of mix it up every once in a while. And I think that this is kind of the region that I can just kind of see some crazy stuff happening. So I kind of picked it to happen that way. Like I said, I'm not necessarily saying that I'm going to bet on Grand Canyon and go to the Sweet 16. I just think that the matchups allow for something like that to happen. And because I don't really have too much confidence in a lot of these teams going super far or one specific team going super far, I'm just going to pick a bunch of upsets and kind of just watch the chaos happen if it does.
Yeah, I love it. Moving on to our Elite Eight picks for this region. Again, I have North Carolina and St. Mary's in that Sweet 16 matchup. I actually do have St. Mary's as well. So when Matt said that he would have St. Mary's beat North Carolina in this matchup, hypothetically, if he did pick North Carolina, that's exactly what I have. I think St. Mary's, their defense, I think they have I think it's behind Iowa State. Their adjusted defensive efficiency is second in the nation, just behind Iowa State, I think. So St. Mary's, I mean, if you have a good defense, most likely you're gonna do well in March, especially if you have a competent offense that's good enough to facilitate that really, really good defense. And again, I think that a trustworthy defense is a good, really, really good defense is a lot of times more trustworthy than a really, really good offense. Because if you're not shooting the ball well, like you're just not shooting the ball well, right? But defensively, you have a scheme that you're playing. And you're kind of reacting to the offense. So you can kind of just do whatever, make any adjustments that you need in order to react to the offense. You're not contributing anything to the score on your end. You're just preventing from the other team from scoring. So it's a lot easier to trust a really, really good defense than it is to trust a really, really good offense, in my opinion, especially in March. So St. Mary's into the Elite Eight, and then Arizona, New Mexico, as much as it is intriguing to pick New Mexico here. I do have Arizona because, again, just super balanced team, experienced team that's going to make it to the Elite Eight. And then for that same reason, I've got Arizona over St. Mary's to the Final Four here. Again, kind of chalk a little bit, but Arizona, you just can't really make many arguments against them. And so that's kind of why I like them to make it to the Final Four here.
Yeah, I have Michigan State over Grand Canyon. So, you know, just kind of picking the better overall team there and advancing Michigan State into the Elite Eight. And then I also have Arizona over New Mexico. So pretty much the same. And then I have Arizona in the Final Four. And again, like I said, I don't really believe, like, I think if I was to choose a bracket, I think I'd probably have Baylor come out of this region. But because I kind of want to keep it because of the size of my pool, again, this, I'm just playing a game theory. Like I'm not really, I mean, obviously I think that it's probably, I would say half and half, like half things I think like will happen based on my analysis of the teams and the games. But I think the other half, and this is definitely one where I have Arizona going to the Final Four because a lot of people are going to have UNC, right? And so the next team, or actually, in fact, this is another thing I looked up too. The betting odds favor Arizona to reach the Final Four more than North Carolina. Like, I think it's like Arizona's like plus 150 or something, and UNC is like plus 300 or something. So so Arizona is actually more likely to make the Final Four based on the betting odds than UNC is. And that goes back to UNC's rating. Like I said, they should be a 3 seed, right? They shouldn't be, or at least a 2 seed. They shouldn't be a 1 seed. But right. So I'm going to have Arizona move on here. But again, like I said, if I had, you know, to choose and you want to kind of spice it up a little bit, I think Baylor and St. Mary's are really good choices. Even Alabama are all really good choices to kind of just, you know, spice things up a little bit. But I think Arizona is probably a good choice that like not many people are going to make, but enough people to where if Arizona does get to the Final Four, you don't want to miss out on it. Right. So I have Arizona moving on as well. And that means that Hayden exactly. And I have three of the four same Final Four teams, which is usually how this thing goes. And yeah, so yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Arizona is also sixth in KenPom. So KenPom isn't God, but it's like, if you look at that, you know, they're six and UNC's nine in KenPom and Arizona's a lower seed. So yeah, very, very, very typical of Matt and I to have three of the four same Final Four teams. But that being said, on the left side here, the left region or the left Final Four matchup of the bracket, I've got Auburn and Arizona battling it out in Arizona, which is actually a huge thing, because if Arizona does make it to the Final Four, they're going to be playing in Glendale, Arizona, and they're going to have a lot of fans there. The only caveat to this is Auburn is just like, I think that Auburn is the one team in this bracket that has every single thing going for them. Like I don't think they have really any flaw. Like they're I think 10th in offensive efficiency, like adjusted offensive efficiency, and fourth in defense and adjusted defensive efficiency, which makes them the best all-around team in all of college basketball. The only other team that even really comes close to them is UConn, who has the best adjusted offensive efficiency and the 11th best adjusted defensive efficiency. So with that said, Auburn, I just think is so balanced. Their bench is just so deep. Like they have almost no flaws. You know, they're seated way lower than they should be. I think they've kind of got a little bone to pick with the selection committee, and they're going to go out there and say, we should be higher than we are. And so I've got Auburn moving on to the championship there. And then on the other side of the bracket, Houston and Creighton. I think it's kind of the same argument here. Houston's just kind of a better balanced team. They're just better overall. They've been better this season. They're really the only team that's in a really good conference that had 30 wins. So like, or sorry, well, that's not true. UConn had 30 wins. But Houston is also one of those teams that was in a really good conference that just made it through their conference with ease pretty much all year. I mean, they were in the top of the rankings pretty much all year. So just look for them to be really, really dominant this year in the tournament. I've got Houston in the championship with Auburn. Matt, let's hear your championship picks.
It's going to be Arizona, Tennessee. So at least we have two different teams in the championship game here. But again, as much as I think Hayden's right, it's like, okay, if Auburn makes it to the Final Four, they're probably going to win it all. But again, it's almost one of those things where I'm playing the game theory here again. Like, I think Arizona, the championship is probably their safest bet, because if UConn makes it to the Final Four, so many people are going to have UConn in the Final Four and making the championship game that I'm like, I got to hedge my bets a little bit, right? So that's realistically, that's why I have Arizona here. And so, right, but I could see either of these teams winning. But I do think the home field or home court advantage is probably going to do some good for Arizona as well. Yeah. So I'll have them move on to the championship game. And then I have Tennessee beating Houston. I think, you know, like this is going to be a matchup of I think very, very, very similar styles in the sense that, you know, they play good defense and they have a lot of scorers on offense, both of these teams. What it comes down to for me is the depth of Houston just isn't really there. They're a little bit banged up. Their bench pieces are hurt. They had a guy, one of their, I think they're like their third or fourth best player is out for the season. He got hurt really earlier in the season. And so I think that, you know, when it comes down to very similarly rated teams that, you know, I'm just going to kind of go with the more healthy and the more the team with more depth and I think better guard play too. Zakai Ziegler and Dalton Knecht have been, I think, you know, very, very good players this whole year. Very solid. Knecht has gone for 40 like multiple times, and Zakai Ziegler has had like over 10 assists on most of his games. Jamal Shedd for Houston is a great, probably the best defending guard in the entire country. And can score the ball as well. But I think that the surrounding pieces for Houston, although I think it'll carry them to a Final Four, I don't think it's enough to win a championship. So I'm going to pick Tennessee to beat Houston. Then I'll have them matching up with the other two seed Arizona in the championship game.
All right. Two seeds in the championship game. I've got, like I said, Auburn and Houston in the championship game. And I mean, you guys know who I've got winning it all. I've got Auburn winning all. It's just, I think it's destiny. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm over here like stumbling on my words talking about them like they're my first love or something, dude. Like, I can't say much more about them. I mean, they, I think, are the perfect team in this bracket. They're seated way too low, and I've said that way too many times to say it again. So give me Auburn over Houston. I think that Auburn is a lot, and I will say this kind of lightly because Baylor was so dominant that year, but Auburn reminds me a lot of Baylor in 2019 when they won the championship, just because of how dominant they are, how good on both sides of the floor they are. Their guards are really good. Like, they just have everything going for them. And if they remind you of a team like Baylor, who just absolutely crushed Gonzaga in that championship game in 2019, it's probably going to bode well for your team, at least somewhat in March. So So give me Auburn over Houston. It'll probably be a close game in that championship game, especially if it is Houston and Auburn. But I really hope Auburn wins, because that'll be quite the call from good old Hayden. So, Matt, who do you have?
Yeah, I have Tennessee. I think, you know, they've been an extremely solid team all year. They were rated top 10 to start the season. They've just kind of continued that throughout. You know, they took some losses here and there. They lost early in their conference tournament, which is usually almost a good thing, because they kind of get that loss out of their system. They're ready to, they get more rest and they're kind of ready to go. So I think they're kind of a team that people are sleeping on, in the sense that, you know, the last time you saw them was a big getting blown out to Mississippi State, but that's a game where, right, Tennessee just shot like 25%. Like, you're not going to win a game when you shoot that badly. But for the rest of their games in the SEC, like they've rolled over everyone. I mean, they've crushed Auburn, like, I think twice, both the times they played them, or maybe they split it, but either way, it was an emphatic win, and I think they won at Auburn. So I think in terms of, just if you're thinking about, you know, similar teams, even, you know, rating wise, I think Tennessee just can match up with anyone and can win any game. That's almost where I'm taking it too, is like, you know, this is just a team that can beat anybody. I don't think Arizona is that team. And this is kind of how the bracket breaks. Like, I just ended up with Arizona in the championship game, but I don't necessarily think that Arizona is going to get to the championship game. This is more just a game theory play of, like, in each round, each progressive round, this is a team that I can see end up here, right? Given all the carnage and everything that's going to happen around it, like, there's a very much a possibility that Arizona could be playing Illinois in the Final Four. And, you know, who knows who wins that game? Arizona probably wins that game because they can defend better than Illinois can, right? So it's almost like I'm thinking about it independently of the matchup that I have them playing in the game, because I just want to kind of give my bracket the best chance of getting the most teams to their respective positions to kind of match up with what I have. And I think that, you know, obviously you know, if you're in a 20-person pool, like I'm in a 20-person pool and I pick Tennessee, I'm probably gonna be the only person to pick Tennessee to win the championship. So realistically, like logistically, like if you're truly playing the game theory, you probably shouldn't have Tennessee winning. You should have probably either, you know, UConn or Houston. But again, this is kind of where I just wanted to call my shot. And if Tennessee wins, then I'll be a hero. Similar with to Hayden with Auburn. But I think that, you know, I think again, we're very like-minded in the sense that we have three of the four same Final Four teams here. And I think that, you know, but obviously kind of diversified as we got into the championship game and our champions. So I you know, this was kind of one of those things too, where like, you know, earlier in this, like a month ago, I saw them beat, I think they beat Kentucky and they like crushed them. And I was like, man, I really want to, I'm going to pick Tennessee to win my, you know, to like go all the way, right, and win the championship. And then they got so much hype because I think they had like two other big wins that I think, yeah, that was one of them was like at Auburn. People were like, oh my God, Tennessee should be a one seed. And I'm like, dang it, now I can't pick Tennessee because everybody's going to be picking Tennessee to win. And then, right, they just flame out in the SEC championship. You know, UNC ends up kind of closing the season pretty strongly there. They get the last one seed, and I think everybody's sleeping on Tennessee. So I think, again, this is a team that is rated very, very high, and I think can really match up with any team that they play. And we'll see. So, yeah, so that's who I have. And I like Tennessee to win it all.
Yeah, I actually made in my second bracket that I made right after I finished my like 3 hours of spending time on my first one and my actual bracket, Tennessee was my champion in my second one. So that just kind of goes to show I picked Tennessee as my winner in my second one before any one seed in any of my other brackets. So very, very chalk there from Matt and I. But that wraps up the March Madness full bracket picks episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Was quite a long one today, but I mean, it's only right. I think we usually split this one up into two different episodes. We usually have like a strategies episode, kind of like we did at the beginning here, where Matt talked about some of the strategies that he's using coming into this tournament or coming into, you know, picking his bracket for different pools and whatnot. We usually have a whole episode dedicated to that, and then a whole other one dedicated to just our picks for the bracket. So we kind of tried to sandwich both of those in one episode today. So that's why it was a little bit longer than expected. But if you made it to this point, thank you guys so much. And also, I hope you take some of this advice into your own bracket. Don't take too much because Matt and I haven't really been consistent throughout the years. Let's just say that in terms of getting a bracket that scores well. But hopefully, if you did take some advice from this, you will place well or maybe even win your pools that you're in for your brackets. So kind of just depends on who else is in your league. If you got anybody in your pool that is picking based on like how cool their mascot is or what color the jerseys are and which colors are cooler, they're most likely going to win. So that's just unfortunate for you if you have one of those people in your pool, which Matt and I have, I think, multiple of those people in our pool. So That's just going to be that. It's just kind of how the cookie crumbles. And we hope you guys have a great rest of the week. Don't really know what the schedule is going to be in terms of future episodes after this. We're going to try to get back on schedule, at least, you know, doing some, especially for the big things like the Masters. We'll probably, you know, try to get one out either before or right after reviewing the Masters, because that's a huge, you know, the biggest golf tournament there is. And we're pretty big golf guys. So we'll see about that. But until then, hope you guys have a great rest of the week / upcoming weekend, and just sit down, relax, and watch some basketball this weekend, because it's going to be quite the show. So thank you guys again for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.